Okay, we were talking about the toilets down in Rosnala and the state of them. A caller says, though, that the self-cleaning toilet in Letterkenny Park has been closed for over a year now and has been replaced by two port-a-loos, festival toilets, that if you use, you will think you are at the last day of the Electric Picnic Festival. Okay, I think with some further research, I think the self-cleaning toilets, they washed the floor. Obviously, that, I don't know what it would do about the toilet itself. So that example is, I wonder why they're no longer in use. A caller says there appears to be an issue with toilet maintenance in this country. I know of several towns and villages where toilets were installed but eventually had to be closed again because nobody maintained them. It's the responsibility of the local council. They should hang their heads in shame and wake up to the damage they're doing to the image the tourists take away with them when they leave our beautiful county. But maybe it's time for some sort of a pilot project, you know, that maybe rather... there is going to be a fund, a maintenance fund, perhaps maybe employing more people in the local community. I believe that's what's done in Rathmullen. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is it working well? And could that be employed in the likes of Rosnala? It really just is the thing that people take away with them. Toilets, it's like that for me in a bar or a pub. If I go into a pub, and it could be the loveliest pub in the world, but if the toilet's nasty, it's the first thing you say when you come out and perhaps the one thing you remember down the line. And it's the same with our wonderful natural amenities. We just need other amenities to match them. The state of the public toilets is more the fault of users. We are a filthy lot, in my opinion. Yes, I get you, but we're not going to fix people. So we have to make it clean for those that are respectful. Why is the human being so dirty, asks another. Why would you leave a mess behind for someone else to clean? I see it at work too. Too lazy to wash your own cup and spoon. The strange thing is that the dirtiest of people are the cleanest in their own homes. Did Caroline send that one in? Because that's kind of like how she talks about us here. Right, we will get back to more of your comments coming in there. But I want to say good morning now to Joseph Mangan. You will know Joseph runs a very successful business. He joins us on the programme now. Joe, thanks very much for your time. I do appreciate it.
Good morning, Greg. Thank you.
And it's actually something that's, you know, hopefully really positive, born of an unbelievable tragedy because... there was a recent road traffic collision in which two young men, Sean Martin McClafferty and Jamie Diver, were killed in a road traffic collision. Two others in that vehicle are continuing their recovery. And, you know, I suppose when we're outside an area, Joseph, we can kind of maybe move on and forget at times the devastation that's there and that's left in a small, tight-knit local community. And that's what this initiative is about, recognising that.
It is. And for those families, obviously, first and foremost, it never goes away and their lives are changed forever. But even for a lot of their friends, it's not natural for young people to have lost best friends at the age of 17, or even in their early 20s. So it's not something that we're ready to deal with at that stage. And as, even as individuals or even as a small community here, like in Goddard, we have a great little community, a wonderful community spirit that unfortunately we've had too many of these tragedies. 6 years ago, we had the four young boys killed in a similar accident. A month previous to this one, we had the tragic loss of young Amy McMurrah. Different circumstances, but a community that was united in grief again. And then Sean Martin and Jamie last month there. So you're finding that both young and old, it's just a difficult thing to comprehend and a difficult thing to deal with.
It's really difficult for anyone of any age, but particularly young people. And you kind of talked of that. You know, I think with age, there's something happens where we are more conditioned with grief or loss because perhaps it's nature. But for 16, 17, 18, 19-year-olds or 10-year-olds lose an uncle or whatever the scenario might be, it's very difficult to process. And one of the concerns one might have too is that, you know, it could impact on other young people's mental health and the consequences potentially of that, Joseph.
It is, and that's the thing about it. You know, as we go through life, we arm ourselves with tools that help us deal with situations. But it's at the age of, 16, late teens, early 20s, this isn't a tool that you would expect to be armed with, and you're not naturally armed with. So the main thing with this is to actually have a little talk and have experts come in that will actually explain a little bit about grief, explain the process, and sometimes it's even hearing that you're not the only person and what you're feeling is actually that there are others, or that is the process, can even be a little bit of help. And then hearing of some of the supports that we have in place and some of the help that is there. But quite often, having young people come together and just having a talk about it and hearing about the different ways to deal with this or help can actually be one of the biggest helps. And that's as much that this is a gathering for people to get information, to hear of the supports that are there, but also to kind of just be there for each other as well, because that happens at the time of the wakes and the funerals and so on. But then as the weeks and days go past, there's different people that are maybe sometimes left behind. Mm-hmm. And this is about just trying to make sure, even it's arming people with knowing what to look out for if you're looking out for a friend or a son or a daughter.
Well, that's it too, Joseph, because, loss, grief and trauma too, because there's trauma in events like this as well. And sometimes trauma can be different to grief. I'm thinking of mums and dads and granny and granddads in the areas that maybe don't understand how something like this can affect a young person in the house. What do you look out for? How might their behaviour change? When do I need to give them space or perhaps to step in? And what do you say? And how do you, identify maybe if there's external supports that are needed? Again, we don't have that info, and it can be very frustrating as mums and dads and granny and granddads and what have you to sort of know what to do, to have the knowledge to know what to do in that situation. There'll be a focus of that as well during this process, Joseph, to help people understand.
It is, and that's part of it. I know the families very well. I'm very good friends with some of the parents and so on. I've been from national school, secondary school together with them. And it kind of came from that. You don't know what to say. You don't know what to do. You see young people and you're talking to other parents and you're hearing of young people that are really struggling. And again, you're sitting with that in that position of, I want to do something, but I don't know what to do. But then when we get the idea of this, to get help and to actually give arm people with that information to be able to point them in the right direction.
So Stronger Together, a community gathering for support and healing. What's happening? When's it happening? How do people engage with it?
Well, it's on tomorrow, Friday evening at 7 p.m. in Austin, Loughalton and Godahark. And we're working with both the HSE and the Road Victims Northern Ireland Donegal group. So we're going to have different people there just giving some information, talking about grief and then talking about the supports and services that are available. It's free for anybody to turn up and there's no need to register. You just turn up at Austin Loughalton and Godahark at 7 p.m. Tomorrow evening. And we'd love to see, as you say, friends, family, parents, grandparents, anybody at all. It's about getting information to people and helping. If we can only help one person, it'll be worthwhile.
Yeah, and I'm sure you'll help much more. And I think, for families that maybe don't communicate as much as others, bring people with you. It might be a conversation starter. It might create a space where people can say on the way home in the car, this is how I've been feeling and what they said makes sense. I think that will be potentially a really powerful part of this.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. There's maybe a little bit too much of a stigma in terms of talking about any of this, particularly amongst young men, and that's one of the talks that we'll be having, Men's Time to Talk. And it's about just realising that it's actually better to talk, it's better to just ask for help. Or even just to put your arm around a friend and say, do you want to talk about something, or is there something I can do, or whatever? And it's just, it's about everybody helping each other.
Okay. It's Stronger Together, a community gathering for support and healing. Members of the Road Victim Support Northern Ireland Donegal Group will be in attendance. It's backed by the HSE. It's open to everyone. There's no pressure. There's no compulsion to talk. You can just sit and listen. If you want to engage, you can. It's completely judgment-free. A lot of us just like to go and sit at the back, but that's fine as long as you're taking in the information. It's for anyone impacted by the recent tragedy or any of the recent tragedies we heard Joseph reference there, families, friends, members of the wider community. There are people who feel the loss directly, even though they're not directly there. Come out and sit with others, because we are so much stronger together, and we have great communities, and everyone needs to be a part of that as well. Remind us one last time when and where, Joseph.
7 p.m. on Friday evening, tomorrow evening, in Austin, Lalton and Goddard.
Thank you very much. I'll give people a reminder of that tomorrow as well for those we may have missed. Joseph Mangan, thank you very much indeed for your time. And a caller says, 20p a poo, Greg, that is outrageous. 5p a poo? I don't know. The bottom line is we're going to have to come up with something, because what's happening at the moment isn't working. I'm not a fan of paying for poop, or pee-pee for that matter, but seriously, something has to be done. A caller says, simply have someone there permanently and have a charge that person could then keep the money. Simple. Toilet, clean, all the time. Happens in Germany. The thing is I was thinking about this during the break when I read that comment. You need more than one person, though, don't you? You need two people, because if you had one person for a continuance of service, you'd probably have to have two, and that's a cost as well. I'm not sure how it might work, but maybe there is a community mechanism in there. I'm surprised no one has referenced community service at all at this point. Normally it does come in, but anyway. It's more than 30 years since I took my family to Rossinala. It was a Sunday, and the first thing we saw was a group of youths playing football on the beach. None of them were wearing any clothes. I left immediately, and my opinion of Rossinala has been tarnished ever since. I've no intention of returning. Merva and Fintra are much better. Well, I mean, they're not still there, and if they are, everything's going to be dangling around them 30 years on. Right, okay, I don't know what was going on there. We don't see too much of that, thankfully. If the truth be told. Okay, the local community hospitals all around Donegal are not allowed to do IV antibiotics or fluids, says the listener, which means patients have to go to hospital and that takes up beds. Most patients over 70 need these on a regular basis for chest infections and dehydration. To do this in hospital, they are in, and which saves so many beds. Now Doc is no longer doing stitches. This is meaning people have to go to ED. I'm not sure about that. I'm getting mixed messages about Now Doc and ED. And stitches. We could do much to ease the burden of ED, but it's not allowed. Things really need to change. There are that group of individuals who've been on this show a few times that visit people in their homes for the likes of IV antibiotics or fluids. I can't remember the exact name of the organisation, but they do fantastic work. And their stats were very impressive in avoiding hospital visits for older people. And they were looking, firstly, for more funding for that service to maintain it, but also to expand it. So there are solutions out there that are working. They just need to be further funded. Right, now, Donegal County Council's Cathaoirleach, Niamh Kennedy, is hosting a concert to support Donegal Domestic Violence Services. And we've got Councillor Niamh Kennedy on the programme with us. Cathaoirleach, good morning to you. Thank you very much for your time.
Good morning, Niall. Good morning, everyone.
And that's Ocean FM. I'm Greg. I think it says good morning, Niall. But it's fine.
Thank you, Niall.
Yeah. It's fine.
Good morning, Greg.
It's fine. It's all the same, really. Thanks so much, Niamh. And also, good morning to Dr. Marie Hainsworth, CEO of Donegal Domestic Violence Services. Dr. Marie, thank you so much for your time, as always. Niamh, I'll start with you, because I suppose in organising something like this, there's lots of different things that you could organise it for. Why did you choose Donegal Domestic Violence Services? I mean, it's obvious because it's so important, right? But maybe there's a, you know, just to hear you explain it.
Yeah, I think it's something that would be very close to my heart. And I would have had a lot of people over the years coming to me on a very private basis with issues surrounding domestic violence and indeed not only females, which is, you'd think, to be surprising, but it's not. And I suppose over the years, myself growing up, I could never tackle or handle bullying. I just don't deal with bullies at all. And I suppose the more I looked into it and the more I saw things, I think we've all had someone bully us at some stage in our lives. But I think the more I looked into it, the more I realised that the bully, sometimes it was coming from the home and it was coming from their own issues within, behind closed doors. And that was then spread out into the community, which is an awful pity. But I think it's time that we need to highlight it and we need to say no to it. And we need to start, I suppose, taking the stigma out of it and allowing people to be able to stand up and say, no, enough is enough. And we cannot allow this happen anymore. And we need a refuge and we need a centre. And we have a centre here in Letterkenny, which is fantastic. And we need more places like that throughout the county. And I do know there are shelters and safe houses throughout the county, but perhaps at times not enough and the pressure can come on. And I suppose in more recent years, we've seen so many violent deaths of women throughout the country. And indeed, again, only recently there in court the other day for coercive behaviour, a young man in prison. So, look, it's a serious issue. It's something, as I say, that is close to my heart for so many reasons I won't go into them all, but I will say that this is extremely important and it needs to be brought to the fore. It needs to be highlighted more and say, look, enough is enough and break the stigma.
Yeah, and it's so important even having the conversation about things like this, because there's very sadly every day new people find themselves in this situation. So every time we talk about this, and often it is with Dr. Hainsworth, you know, maybe we reach that woman. It's predominantly women. We're not saying it's not men as well, but it's predominantly women, right? That maybe it gives them the confidence to make the decision that's right for them. And it's with services like yours, Dr. Hainsworth, because to up and leave a situation, especially if there are dependents, can often take a very long time for very, very obvious human reasons.
Yeah, it can take a long time. And often we do need, as Niamh pointed out, dedicated spaces where people can go, where they can be safe, where they can go through the court process. And it is challenging. I mean, even in the first 2 months of this year, we had 13 different requests for accommodation, and we could only work with two of those families. Now, some of those were not accommodation requests that we followed through on. You know, people found other alternatives, and people may have been offered accommodation and then declined it. But at the end of the day, that's still, you know, you're still looking at 6 or 7 people a month coming to our service looking for accommodation. We have 11 units of accommodation available at the moment. They're all full. I have 2 other families waiting to come into accommodation if we could source it. And we also have some clients that would not be eligible to come into refuge because of issues such as substance use or, you know, quite bad mental health issues. We do work a little bit with the psychiatric unit, but particularly with addiction, you know, and that's an area that I'm trying to work with the council on, about looking at alternative accommodation that maybe the council could support, because women who are homeless are obviously extra vulnerable if you're putting them into a hostel that's mixed. And we've had a number of sexual assaults in this county in that situation. So that's a whole area of work that I think it would be great for the council and ourselves to work on collaboratively down the line. So, yeah, thanks for Fanny for getting involved and hopefully for raising awareness amongst the services as well.
Yeah, that's a critical part of initiatives like this as well, isn't it, Marie, that it allows us to have that conversation to highlight the gaps, to highlight the positive work that's being done as well. Because last year, 300 families were worked with that were impacted by domestic abuse. More than 60 families were given emergency accommodation through our services. Many people affected there, and you know, by, you know, proximity as well, you know, the number is great. Hopefully those families are seeing a brighter future now.
Hopefully. And I think as well, it's something for families, because often families will support family members to get out of relationships, but they want to know that there's options there, you know, and it's a big bonus to be able to say to somebody, look, if you support your family member to get out of the relationship, we can provide X, Y, and Z. So at least people feel more comfortable about having the conversations, because the last thing we want to do is feel completely overwhelmed by something and then feel we can't deal with it and we can't cope. So, yeah, it's important people know that we're here to support them. And then I think that will give people more confidence to go forward and actually speak to potential victims or to speak to family members generally.
And Niamh, we need something too, you know, locally but nationally as well. And I don't know where we go from here. But today, just reading figures, 30% of people have been the victim of a sexual assault. More and more women are contacting this programme saying they feel less safe, whether it be in their home or actually out and about. And we seem to be hearing of serious assaults or the murder of women on a weekly basis right across the island of Ireland. You know, with all the talk that we're doing and with all the progress we would hope we are making, Niamh, sometimes it does feel like, you know, things are getting worse when you would expect them to be getting better.
Yeah, absolutely, Greg. And it is very, very unfortunate that is the case. And I suppose the more people we have in our communities and the more people that we don't know anymore, it can be very daunting on people, and people can certainly feel a little unsafe, and indeed at times very unsafe. So it's a case that I think that we need to break the stigma. We need to speak to people. We need to ensure that everybody's included in our communities and what we do. And once we start to get to know people and get to know them properly, and I suppose welcome people, to ensure that they're valued and that we're all valued and that we're all equal, and that there should be no room for any violence of any description, that there should be no room for someone having to beg on a street and pull somebody into a corner and do all sorts to them. We, you know, this has to stop. And I know in larger towns like Letterkenny, we've got a lot of people here now which are welcomed in some quarters and not in others. So, you know, it's the fear of the unknown as well, and that fear that who are you going to meet around the corner on a dark night or through the park or whatever it might be. So again, to deal with this, I suppose, on a national level, we need to communicate more. And I know that the Inclusion Unit and Donegal County Council is doing an awful lot of work in relation to that and in relation to getting to know people and welcoming communities. Very, very important piece of work that's going on there on that community development sector. And it's very, very strong and very welcome. So again, it's working with people and trying to break that break the silence and break the stigma.
And you know, often when we have this conversation, there's some men get up in arms about this and think that we're talking about all men or that it's men bashing, but that is really misplaced. We're talking about primarily men who are responsible for domestic abuse against males or females, mostly women. They are not representative of all men. So men shouldn't get edgy or defensive about this, right? But men have to be part of the solution. I'm talking about, Marie, toxic conversations in the bars or in WhatsApp groups, or calling out, you know, behaviour that they see amongst their friends or their brothers or uncles or something. You know, men aren't under threat here, but men can certainly be part of the solution. And we shouldn't leave it up to women to lead the way on this. Stop feeling that this is about you and start being part of the solution.
Yeah, absolutely. I was at a training the other day, and it was looking at domestic violence homicide cases. And one of them, the perpetrator has strangled his victim. But before he did that, he had been joking with his group of male and female friends about looking at different ways of strangulation and asking them if he could, you know, just practice to see what it would feel like trying to strangle somebody. It's recognizing, I think, that minor behaviors need to be challenged before they escalate into other behaviors. And I think if everybody, you know, men and women and people who have not been exposed to domestic violence, even growing up, that they get to understand that, you know, there are behaviors like stalking and harassment that might sound very minor, but actually can quickly escalate and are often key indicators of something a lot more serious. And I think all of us have tended to go, well, that's somebody else's private life, so we don't want to get involved. Whereas what we're saying now is everybody at some level needs to have a role in asking questions and just double checking with people if they're okay and not being afraid of the response. You know, that the more normal we make it about asking about domestic abuse, the more likely we are to be able to encourage people to come forward, you know, and whether that's other professionals, GPs, medical people, whether it's the Gardaí, whether it's, you know, any emergency service that might be called out to an incident, just asking the routine questions allows victims to come forward.
And we need to stop, and I don't care if it's the government, the EU, the tech companies, whomever it is, one or all of them, we need to stop people under 18 years of age accessing pornography. Absolutely. It has to stop, because a lot of this stuff that they talk of, asphyxiation or whatever it might be, if you look at the searches, because these companies publish their top searches every year for one reason or another. But anyway, the stuff that's being looked at, okay, is, if you're a fully grown adult, that's grand. I'm not judging. But I was listening to a girl being interviewed by Victoria Derbyshire recently. 11 years of age, she started watching pornography, and she eventually ended up working in the adult industry. You know, kids should not be exposed to this stuff, and we need the powers that be to protect them along with us, but we can only do so much as well. Caoimhleach Niamh Kennedy has gathered an amazing group of individuals and performers. Two of Donegal's most iconic performers, I would argue, well, they're definitely two of, if not the two, Moya Brennan of Clannad and Mairéadh Mooney of Alton, two amazing, powerful women. They are taking part in this concert. The Friel sisters are going to be there as well. Actor and playwright Maura Logue, up-and-coming Gwydor singer-songwriter Lara Bell, and Danu Young Women's Choir, amongst others. You really have gathered together an amazing lineup for this concert, Niamh.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I'm absolutely delighted. I had the pleasure of being in the company of Moya and Mairéad and Jim McGuinness, actually, down in Bunbeg, back at an age-friendly Alliance AGM. And we got chatting at the table, and I had put the thing to them and asked them what would they consider, what do they think about maybe doing a performance on the awareness raising of domestic violence. And both of them, without hesitation, jumped on it straight away. They were delighted. Delighted to help out. So then I got in touch with Maura Logue, because I love Maura's, she's just brilliant. And she has written a piece for the night, and it's going to be amazing. And then obviously Treoilleach and Greenan and the council and Andrew, they've been so supportive and so helpful, and then they gathered the rest together. So it's going to be an amazing night. And I have a lot of good friends that are going, and a lot of people. It would be great to see so many people come along, because it's on Good Friday. It's a poignant night to have it. It's also my son's 30th birthday. He'll probably kill me for saying it, but happy birthday to him. But I think that I think it's a good, important night to have. And it's Easter, and people will be getting together. And the lineup is going to be amazing. And the women are just, it's going to be so exciting to hear them.
So there are tickets available. So where is the concert taking place, and how can people secure their tickets?
Yeah, they can get them online at Greenan online, and it's at 8 o'clock, and the tickets are €25 each, and the proceeds will go to the domestic violence in Donegal.
Brilliant. And it's about obviously raising any money that can be raised, but also the conversation. Okay, thank you. Marie, we dip in and out of your life. I do anyway. I'm in and out of your office every now and again. And, you know, just it's amazing the work that you and the rest of your team do all of the time. It must be incredibly hard to switch off if you can at all. Like, I don't switch off from this job, but it's nothing like the work that you do. And I'm sure it can be hard to switch off. So fair play to you, Marie. I hope that doesn't sound patronising, but you and all the people that you work with, and the amazing things that you do, and the difference you make in people's lives in some of the most horrendous situations.
No, it is a tough work, and the staff team here are absolutely amazing, you know, so big call out to all of them and the work that they've done. And it is a 24-hour service, so yeah, you're right, you don't kind of switch off at one level, because there's always something, somebody is always working on this issue at whatever hour of the day. So Yeah, no, it is. It can be quite tough.
All right, okay. And obviously, when we talk about the likes of the services of the domestic violence services, that they can be under pressure, please don't allow that to discourage you from reaching out, because there are layers of this, and at different stages, different thing kicks in. The best thing you can do, because unfortunately, we've seen violent behaviour in the household all too often, generally speaking, it will escalate. It doesn't go away, generally speaking, Marie, does it? You would hope it might, but it doesn't. Often.
No, and sometimes it's not just the physical violence. It can be that uncomfortableness, that treading on eggshells, that, and people often think, well, that's not real domestic violence, so I can't really access the service. You know, that's where it all starts. They are the key indicators where, you know, a lot of fatalities, it's a prior history of coercive control, not physical violence. So, you know, definitely we take all cases seriously.
All right. What's the contact details again, Marie, please?
So our helpline number is an 1800 number, 1800-262677. And then we do also have a mobile number, which is 087-381-2438. And you can WhatsApp us on that and text as well.
All right. It's never too early to seek help. But sadly, sometimes we've seen it that it can be too late. So protect yourself and your family and get the help that's needed and get yourself out of a horrible situation. Okay, Dr. Marie Hainsworth, hopefully you'll be able to let the hair down on Good Friday, will you? And sit in your bum and enjoy a concert.
Oh, I don't know, because Niamh has got me up there to say something.
Oh, my word. Would you not give the lady a night off, Niamh Kennedy?
There's no such thing as a night off.
Okay. Well, listen, Dr. Marie Hainsworth, as always, thank you so very much. Take care of yourself. And Cathaoirleach Niamh Kennedy, tickets are available right now and on Green on a wonderful venue. I know musicians and performers in general love to perform there. Tickets are going to sell out. So if you want to go, support this worthy cause. But also, I mean, the concert itself is outstanding. I'm not sure when you'll get all of these artists under the one roof again and on the same stage. It's Good Friday, Friday 18th of April. Tickets going fast on Greenon Theatre. Gurmai Hagut, Councillor Niamh Kennedy, Cathaoirleach, take care of yourself. Okay, bye bye. Thank you. 086 60 25,000 if you wish to opine on that issue. Right, I'm going to take a break. And then, there's two things I'll mention, actually, upcoming things. The Maguire sisters, they're hosting a great Irish bake also with the Dolman Centre, Kilclooney, Port Neufisic Children's Hospital, tomorrow, Friday, between 12 and 2. Brilliant. But you didn't bring me buns. Alan did. No, I'm only messing. Listen, that's fantastic. So that's tomorrow. I don't have Alan's sheet here. I just wanted to... Is Alan on Saturday? Alan's bakes? Is it? No. It is Saturday. Between the same hours. Okay, so that's both in the same venue. Yep, it is. I can't produce and present at the same time. I really, you know, I'm good, but I'm not. I'm going to get a slap. Maguire Sisters, fair play to you, hosting a great Irish bake also in the Dolman Centre, Kilclooney, Port Neufisic for sick children. That's tomorrow, Friday, and I'll just double check when Alan's there. Is it an overlap or is it the next day? But I'll check that out and bring it back to you. Good morning, Greg. Can you please give a mention to Rafo Seniors Friday Club? They're hosting a coffee morning tomorrow, Friday 11th at 10:30 a.m. and runs to 1:30 p.m. It's in the Vault House, the Diamond Rafo. Homemade cakes, scones and treats. Everyone's welcome. It's all happening this weekend. Everyone's baking and raising money and awareness and funds and getting together and chatting to each other, etc., which is great. Now, to clarify, the wonderful Maguire sisters, they're hosting a great Irish bake also in the Dolman Centre, Kilclooney, Port New. It's for sick children, sick children's hospital tomorrow between 12 and 2 p.m. And then on Saturday, it is Adam. I was calling him Alan, my mistake. Adam, he is also raising money for sick children on Saturday. He's at the St. Mary's Hall, Castle Finn, between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. for a cup of tea. So, Adam in Castle Finn between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. in St. Mary's Hall, Castle Finn on Saturday. The Maguire sisters in the Dolman Centre, Kilclooney, Port New, tomorrow from 12 to 2 p.m. Isn't it great to see these young people doing what they're doing? It's fantastic. Well done to all. More than happy to mention that, but I didn't want it to be counterproductive. Hi, Greg. Narn Beach has water running onto it. It smells like sewage water and runs into the sea. Very bad at the minute. And bins are always full and the council are not emptying them. Rubbish falling out of them. Do you clean the bins or do you pull them away? Emergency services need to be taken into consideration too. They witness traumatic things and have to carry on with their work. The one thing on this programme is we always reference and keep in our mind emergency workers, emergency services. We have a lot of contact here with An Garda Síochána, the fire service and the ambulance service, and anything we can do to work with them and promote the work that they do, we do. And we always recognise the trauma that they go through. Obviously, there's supports through work and what have you, and hopefully they avail of them. And always when we talk about that, I also want to recognise too the clergy, because often they go to these scenes, and what they witness is, of course, incredibly traumatic, and often they have to return to a parochial house on their own and process everything. So yes, it's the victims, it's the families, it's the community, but yes, it's the emergency services and it's the clergy as well. I've always been interested in the story of the Titanic. That was a great interview and I'd love to hear Margaret again indeed. And you see, it was kind of rushed because I mentioned, is there any living relatives of Neil and Eileen? And then Margaret rings up and next thing you know, I realise that her brother and my dad worked together and I suppose I effectively worked for a time subcontracted by her dad as well. So there you go. It's a small wee county, isn't it? But such a connection. That's like, you know, that 3 degrees of separation that they do, you know, that we're all like 7 degrees of separation. Like, and this is not in any way being insensitive and I don't intend it to be like, but you know, my connection to the Titanic, to use that sort of methodology, is me to Margaret, to Tommy, to Neil, to the Titanic. It's amazing how we're all sort of interconnected in short thrift. There are no toilets in the retail park in Letterkenny. It's a disgrace. The amount of interviews I've done about those toilets about they're about to land is embarrassing. It's a little bit like the 20 million for the electric car infrastructure interviews that we're asked to do. I've sort of put a blocker on that stuff now. Unless it's actually happening, give me a date. I'm not misleading people in relation to this. I'll talk about those toilets in Letterkenny. I'll talk about them not being there, but don't talk to me about them being there until we have a date that they're actually going to be there, because it's misleading to the public and I don't want to be a part of that. The public toilets in Bala Buffet, they're in the butt centre. Many people might be unaware that there are public toilets in Bala Buffet. I wasn't aware of that. The butt centre. Is that the butt centre? The butt centre? The butt hole? I thought that... Where is that? Is that beside the old butt? Yeah, but that building's derelict, is it not? Is there toilets in there? Okay, well, there you go. The public toilets, I'm told, in Bala Buffet are in the Butt Centre. Many people might be unaware. Can you, someone in the area, please advise me where that actually is? Because I would have, in my mind, the Butt Hall would have been derelict. But maybe there's something with a different name. Greg, there's an increase in theft from shops because many have done away with security. I pointed out a shoplifter to an assistant one day and she said, if the owner doesn't care, why should I? I'm not confronting them. It's not worth the hassle. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that's the right thing to do. I can understand why someone might go, you know, if they're worried about it, put security on. I'm not going to have a wrestle with someone. A caller says... yeah, we always had the same problem with the public toilets in Buncrana for years until a local family extended our children's festival park to include a sensitivity park for children with special needs. They used money from their fundraising to bring our public toilets up to scratch. We're entirely grateful. Brilliant. But how are they maintained? You see, because it's not, often it's not the provision of bins or toilets or other services. It's them being in a fit state of use, if you know what I mean. Rightio, in the Baller. Okay, so they're old school referring to... Yeah, those toilets are in the Baller. I was thinking it couldn't have been the Butt, but some people will still refer to the new theatre as the Butt Theatre, but it's called the Baller. That makes a lot of sense. Thank you so much indeed for that. Just as our next guest was about to join us, I was doing a bit of maths here, and I figured out, John, I figured out that between me and you, we have now climbed Mount Errigal 53 times. Isn't that an amazing achievement for us?
That's right.
What are you laughing at?
That's very much of an achievement, Greg.
I mean, there are people that have probably only climbed it twice, but between me and you, we've been up and down that bloody thing.
Me and you are down 53 times, Greg.
So
you are top.
Between us, we've done it 53 times. How many times have you done it?
Just about that time.
How many times? Say it out loud.
Suppose that's up and down. That's 106 in total, going up and down.
Right, okay. So the cat's
just,
out of the
I just love...
You've done all
I love Mounter. I love Mount Errigal High. I love Donegal. I love Letterkenny. But our big problem, Greg, is can we please get some port loose for the summer? I met people there this morning from France, America, Scotland, the UK, and just... Get them a wee place to, you know.
Where would that be fine at the bottom, John? You know, so people can go to the bathroom before they undertake it, or yeah, halfway up or on the top. Like, just as someone who has a great experience there, where's the greatest need, or you know, where would be most practical?
Suppose, look, the car park. I know they're fixing that road down there now at the moment.
Yeah.
But it's just maybe the car park, or maybe some sort of. It needs to be something, Greg, because people are using the toilet at the wall and using beside the cars, and you know there's paper and there's rubbish.
Yeah,
and
I get you.
It's just, and even Letterkenny Town Park, I love that park, but it's just the toilets, you know, need to be get fixed up. Come
there
on,
there are portaloos in the town park currently, aren't they?
They are. But yeah, but me be quaring glad at portaloo. If you ever slept in a tent, you'd be quaring glad.
Oh,
I know
course.
I've climbed a few mountains myself. Look, it's great, but Jesus, look, how much would it take? They spent nearly $1 million on that mountain. And it's just beautiful. I love it.
Yeah, and I just... You know, it's quite frustrating because, look, you have spoken there to many people of many different nationalities. My concern, John, is, and I don't want to go back to this, that at least they complain there's no toilets and that's bad, but if they would complain that the toilets are there and they're dirty, it'd be worse. And I just hope that we're not doing stuff because we don't want to have to maintain it.
Look, we're good at the big stuff. Donegal, I mean, tourism, please. I'm asking you today, all them people, them smart people out there sending out brochures, and look, get the small stuff right. Look after our own kind of people in that area, first of all. Get the toilets done. There are people walking up and down there every day. That's a great tourist attraction. What's wrong with it?
John, as someone who climbs a bit, do you know the great work they've done on the path on Mount Errigal? But does that make it feel less of an achievement getting to the top of Mount Errigal and
It makes it safer. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
You know, it's the safety aspect, because I used to climb it before when you run into about 3 foot of bog.
Mm.
You know, when you come back and you're covered in peat.
Now there's no bugs
but look,
at all.
It's grand. There's different angles up, but that pathway is brilliant. It's a fantastic job. Well done, County Council.
What are you training for?
I'm hoping to do Everest to base camp next year for the Cancer Care West. That's the plan, anyway.
Okay.
Hopefully,
brilliant stuff.
So we'll talk about that another day.
Yeah, for sure. And it's just—is it just building up? Sorry, I'll get back to the toilets in a sec. Is it just building up stamina and all? Is that the benefit of Errigal for you?
It's consistency. I've been training a long time, Greg. You know, I've done the karate for many, many years, and it's good for the legs and it's good for the body when you get over the 60 bracket, and it's good for people to be out and about. There's so many people doing so much, you know.
But not to detract from your point, John. As you say, we'll talk about Everest in the future. We get the big things right. Let's get the little things right.
Well, look, I think we've an amazing town, and I know there's roads coming up and we need the bridge over the Swilly and all that's going to carry on. You know what's going to happen. Mm. Yes, our town's amazing. I love Letterkenny. I love Donegal. I love Mount Errigal. But come here. Get a look at Portaloos on. I mean, there's people there from America, California. I mean, Los Angeles. I mean, France. They can't go to the toilet. They're throwing paper. I mean, it's just, I don't know. We it's a no-brainer.
Yep.
I talked to a few people about it, but come here.
All right, then.
You're the main man, Greg.
Yeah, I'll get it sorted. Don't worry about that.
Thank you very much, Greg.
I'll have a toilet there by the time you get back down.
And well done on your 35 years. I left up a wee card. Fair play to you. You're bloody amazing.
Well, it's not us, John. It's people listening. I mean, there's no station.
Oh, yeah, but you have the team. You have a great team there. You have a great team.
That's true.
And you know,
people.
Come on. Credit for credit's due.
Especially, John, if you asked me 10 years ago where like radio would have been with all the advances, you know, between streaming services and all this kind of stuff, I would have thought it would have been dead. Yeah, our figures are...
Highland has a lovely amazing. Local... They have a lovely local link. They're part of the community. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we're all from the community too, John, aren't we? Listen, come here, keep on trucking. Thanks very much for that. It's a simple point. We get the big things right, let's get the little things right. Okay, now, just a quick shout out for you because this evening, Ivan Borland, in his mitts, is going to have €1,000. because we've got €2,000 to give away today and tomorrow. So Ivan's Power Hour Plus at 6 p.m. Around about 6 p.m. he's giving away €1,000. Then tomorrow morning at 8:30 on the Naughty Alarm Clock with Lee Gooch, there's another grand to give away. And it's leading up to a big draw on April 16th on John Breslin's show, where we're giving away €20,000. €10,000 for you to spend in Foy's & Co. To do up your house, curtains, curtain rails, paint, mats, carpets, couches, everything, right? So €10,000 go an awful long way. You know, some people talk about doing a room. I think I could make my house look really, really good for 10K all over the place, to be honest with you. But also €10,000 in cash. So that's up to you. You can stick that into the house as well, or pay off your credit union loan, or go on a holiday, whatever you want to do. So €10,000 for Foy's, €10,000 in cash. You can also win €1,000 tonight and €1,000 tomorrow. You'll be in all four draws for €15 per ticket. Now, of course, only play if you can afford to and have a bit of crack with your money that you work hard to earn. You can get tickets for a tenner too if you buy five. So if you want to group in with other people, that's okay too. Go on to our website, highlandradio.com. Get your ticket, though, before 5:30 this evening if you want to be in all of the four draws. You would really need to get in earlier rather than later. So if you buy your ticket now, you have a chance to win 1,000 this evening, 1,000 tomorrow morning, and 20,000 on the 16th of April. You can go onto our website, highlandradio.com, and buy your tickets there. It's really safe and secure. But if you prefer, give us a ring here at the radio station, 074-91-25000. And it's very possible, we simply don't know, it's very possible that the ticket that will win the 20 grand or one of the 2,000s hasn't been bought yet. We just simply don't know. Maybe it has, maybe it hasn't. I don't know. That's just the way it is. All right, so call us 074-91-25000 or go on our website. Right, that is where we're leaving it. Just to remind you that tomorrow we're coming live from Irish Pressings in Gweedore. This is a company that maybe you are very familiar with, maybe you are not, but they have been working away for 20 years, employing people, taking money into the local area through their work as market leaders in the design and manufacturing of tooling, metal stampings, welding assemblies, projection welding, precision machining and prototyping services. I'm looking forward to going over and having a look around, and we'll be broadcasting the show live from there, kicking off with the Friday panel. And then loads of chat conversation and some live music as well. So tune in for that.